Terry Savage is in the studio on the Noon Business Lunch. Welcome back, Ms. Savage. You're good?
I'm good, yes. Watching the markets, watching. Everybody's standing around going, what will happen with NVIDIA? What will happen with NVIDIA?
NVIDIA represent what's percent of
It's like 2%, but that's the point. They're the leader.
Oh, they're a bigger percentage of the NASDAQ, though.
NASDAQ, sorry. Yeah. Tech stocks as a whole, I just looked it up last night, represent about 30% of the S&P 500.
That's
kind
a lot.
Of the big ones, I mean, and about 18% of the Dow. I was watching earlier today because I was had CNBC on, and Elon Musk and Jensen Huang of NVIDIA were on a panel led by a Saudi person with the whole robe, having a very incredible discussion about the future of AI. I mean, like one of the things. I mean, whatever you may think about Elon Musk.
He was at the dinner with the crown prince.
Yes. Well, there's a big thing going on in Saudi and announcing deals and so forth. But there they were. And Elon Musk was saying, you know, all these data centers that need electricity, we can't create, forget whether it's wind power, that's not or solar power here, that's not reliable enough. And, fossil fuel energy, there won't be enough. And he was talking about creating satellites that create energy off solar power because, number one, a big portion of the size and weight and so forth of these data centers, I'm not any good at this, but has to do with the ability to cool the energy used to cool the chips. Well, number one, if you had a satellite doing it, it would just radiate into ice cold space. And number two, you wouldn't have to worry about cloudy days because it's always sunny in space. This is my amateur version of what I got
and then would
out.
They beam the electricity
exactly,
back down to Earth?
Exactly, I guess. And what I'm thinking is, you know, when Leonardo da Vinci came up with all of those things, or when Ben Franklin, you know, who was like, just forget electricity and everything else and public libraries and everything, you know, what a Renaissance man he was. It was whatever you may think, and I have a lot of things to think about Elon Musk, the stuff he was talking about and then the reality of the tech side of it was just fascinating. And kind of like I'd like to be around for 50 more years to see what happens if robots are doing everything, if we have, he was talking about gigazillions of whatever it was, but the energy that these solar satellites could create to empower AI and all the compute, they call it, that it needs would be easily done from these satellites, whereas you could not possibly hope to do it on Earth. So we're just probably on the verge of an incredible era. That doesn't mean the stocks are priced fairly.
Meanwhile, we've lost 800 points in the last week or so, more than that.
Meanwhile, yeah, more than that for sure. We were over Dow 48,000 and we are just a smidge over Dow 46,000. And no, I have restrained myself from calling Dr. Bob. I have a feeling Dr. Bob Frelick, who, as many of you regular listeners know, has been since January economic forecasts at the Executives Club last year, talking about Dow 50,050.
And we were at 48.3.
And we were at 48.3, and now we're at 46. And I've not called him up to say, are you changing your mind? Because he didn't even change his mind in April crashed after the tariffs.
Do you think if the Fed gives us another quarter point that we'll at least get this money back that we've lost on the markets?
Gosh, first of all, that's one of the big ifs. There's two big ifs hanging over the markets. The first, although it's really ridiculous to think it, the first if will be revealed, so to speak, when we see NVIDIA's earnings, and more important, their forecast for the year ahead, and more important, what they say at their conference call, and how the market takes that is anyone's guess.
Yeah.
And the second big if is there's been a lot of, there was a time 3 or 4 weeks ago when there was like 95% certainty that the Fed would cut another quarter in December, and now the last I've seen, it's about 50% certainty.
Yeah, or 40-something.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the year end. Okay, this reminds me of something.
Hold on.
Okay, I'll tease it.
You just did. Terry Savage in the studios on the Noon Business Lunch. What was that? Oh, I wanted to say something moment.
Oh, I did. But first, let me say this, because you asked a question earlier and I didn't have an answer, but I looked it up, thank goodness for Perplexity, about NVIDIA.
Yeah.
NVIDIA represents approximately 8% of the S&P 500 index by market capitalization, price times the number of shares. It's the largest individual stock weight, and it's a historically high level for a single company, surpassing Apple's peak weighting of about 7% back in 2023.
NVIDIA is listed on the S&P?
Is part of the S&P.
Part of the
S&P. It trades on the NASDAQ, but it's listed. I mean, it's one of the stocks in the S&P 500.
Got it.
Okay. And now, you were saying something. We were talking about the stock market, and I said, oh, that reminds me. Okay, here's what it reminded me of. My latest column, which is about taking your required minimum distribution. Now, okay, everybody's groaning. We're not, first of all, if you're under 73, I don't know what percentage of the audience, you think you can ignore it. But you can't, because it's a little bit complicated. And if you have a parent or a grandparent, there are huge fines for not taking this required amount. Remember, the government wants its shot at our taxes. And so after they've let you grow your money tax deferred in your IRA or your old 401k, which by now, after you're 73 or before, you should have rolled into an IRA. We could talk about that. You have to take a distribution. The amount is based on your age, and that's a formula, but it's also based on the assets in your account, not the assets today or at the end of last month, but the asset value of your IRA or several IRAs all added together at the end of last year, December 2024. If you remember in January at the end, I always say, you're about to get your year-end statements. If you're old enough to take RMDs, 73 or older, save the value. Maybe, you know, you have one at Fidelity, one at Vanguard, whatever it is. You have to take one RMD. It could come out of either account or both. But the value for the formula is how much is in all your IRAs as of last December. Now, you have to take
it. It's funny that they ask you for 2024, not 2025.
No, it's just because that's the way it is.
Well, and you're doing it at 25, so yes, I guess that'd be the last full year.
And because in January, look, I calculated my RMD for this year. Yes, I'm older. But based on my year-end values. And I thought, well, I think what I'm going to do is take out a certain amount each month,
right,
like a little paycheck.
Yeah.
But critically, you must have them withhold taxes from your RMD, or you're going to get a
huge
tax bill.
How do you calculate that?
You just you have them withhold
20%.
20% making a lot of other
money. It's amazing to me that they ask us to do this, though. They are counting on us to assess our value and then report the taxes.
No, no. What they're counting on you to do is, if you go to this top column at terrysavage.com, it explains all this, and there's a link to an RMD calculator. Now, if you're at Fidelity and you only have a Fidelity account with $219,000, you say to them, hi, I'm Mary Smith. I'm 75. Look back at my December valuation. Figure it out. But if you don't, go to this calculator in this column. Add up all the value of your IRAs at year end last year. Put in your age and then click, and it will tell you how much you must take out by year end. And I just want to make that last key point, John. The market's going up, it's going down. Maybe it'll go down a lot more if there's year-end tax selling. Who knows? But the point is, we're just about at Thanksgiving in a minute. I'm going to defrost a turkey this weekend. I mean, I know we're at Thanksgiving. And then everything gets in a frenzy. You need to take your RMD now. It's not about timing the market. Maybe I shouldn't sell my mutual fund till December 19th. No, 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 no. You know what it is. You can calculate it. It's based on last year and your age. So take the thing now before your custodian is all swamped with RMD requests in the next 3 weeks.
But still, I mean, how would they know that you didn't underreport the value of those accounts and minimize your RMD because you want to leave your money in the market? Unless you get audited, how do they even know?
I was just about to say, well, because your custodians will remind you.
Yeah, well, if you had, I don't care if they remind me. They're not the government.
No. But they report this, you know, what the value of your account is. And how much, don't ask me how the IRS calculators work.
I like my chances. I'm not suggesting you do that. It just seems to me like,
well, look, you're going to get let's say you have Fidelity and Vanguard and Schwab, and you have three different IRAs with different amounts in them because you rolled over a 401k once. Each one of those is going to send you a reminder.
Yeah.
You have to take an RMD, and But they don't know that you also have two other IRAs. So they'll calculate it for that one.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
But Terry, listen to me.
Yes.
Probably most people want to take their RMD, right? I mean, this is income that they are now going to have to acquire,
well,
right?
Half the people, we believe this, or not, I don't know if it's half the people, but a lot of people every year say to me, I'm going to move on to a slightly different topic, I don't need this money. I mean, I have my...
Well, you don't have to spend it. You can invest it.
So there's two answers. One of them is, you know, people say, I have Social Security, I have enough savings outside. I really would rather not do it. Now, let me bring up three different topics. One is...
You got 30 seconds.
Okay. One, put it, take it, pay the taxes, put it in a money market account, you've got money. Two is, there's a way to distribute, if you do it and act quickly, a qualified charitable distribution. So it counts towards your RMD. And three is, we've talked in the past, once you're 73, it's tough to do a Roth conversion because all the money you convert adds to income and changes your tax bracket and your Medicare Part B premiums and so forth. But you should be so fortunate as to not have to use the money. For people who do, calculate next year's in January after you get your year-end statement and think about having an automatic check sent to you every month on the 14th. Minus 20% in taxes, and it'll be like another little income stream, which you're going to have to take by year end anyway.
So then when you do have to pay those taxes, you put 20,
you left 20% Yeah, you didn't leave it in your account. They withheld it in taxes, and you're going to get a 1099.
Say,
we gave you this distribution and this much taxes withheld, and unless you find yourself in the 40% tax bracket, maybe that ought to be enough to cover it.
Lucky you. You got any wisdom you want to lay on us, or you want me to ask questions?
Ask questions. I'll make one point. We talked about NVIDIA, and someone here said, what are they supposed to earn? What? So the street, you know, all the Wall Street analysts, the smart money that looks at their business and their tries, you know, the crystal balls, are expecting, and you'll see this right after 3 o'clock this afternoon when the market's already closed, that they will report their third quarter earnings that will be expected to be around $1.26, that's profits per earnings per share, on revenue of $55 billion. So if they blow past that, I mean, that'll be a great sign. If they don't quite make it or disappoint, that'll be a warning sign for the whole market, just because NVIDIA is perceived to be the bellwether of the whole tech AI thing.
I wonder if, say, they do hit that or go past that, but they say, we don't expect this kind of growth next year.
Uh-huh. So they're also, the street guesses what the fourth quarter, you know, the third quarter ended at the end of September. So October, November, December, the fourth quarter. And they will not give you, they'll give you some what's called guidance for the succeeding quarter and for next year. The fourth quarter, they're looking for not $1.26, but even better in the fourth quarter, $1.44, and much higher revenue, over $55 billion. $62 billion is what the street's thinking they should earn for the fourth quarter, which we're just about entering the third month of it now. And so it's very interesting. They make these guesstimates. The analysts compete to be right and so forth. So then there's the other third, kind of imponderable. It is what the chairman says, and he's been on the air quite a bit, talking about with great optimism about the future. So, but what he says specifically, because they have a conference call where all these analysts can pick about their numbers. Well, if you earned this, but you adjusted that, and you blah, 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 and with a backlog of this and the competition from that, so they listen to what the top financial officers and the CEO say. So, and then you mix it all up and you have jambalaya and the market opens tomorrow and you see.
$1.26 and $55 billion in revenue for NVIDIA are the benchmarks. So we will get the results of that in about 2 hours and in about an hour and a half.
Which is why the stock market, the Dow has, and the S&P have not been more than 0.5% from neutral today. The Dow's down up 23 points.
2.5 hours, yeah. And then we'll see what the market... I hope that the market bounces back, though. I hope that either because of anticipation of the Fed on a quarter point or the NVIDIA number, I don't want to see people's savings take any more of a beating than they've taken the last few days. So What do I know or care about NVIDIA? But I'm hoping that that company does well for everybody else's sake. Here's some questions for Terry. Can you ask Terry if there is a way to gift the money to my children instead of taking it through an RMD?
No, sorry. You could take the RMD, pay the taxes, and then give it to your kids.
But right. It's going to be a taxable event, huh?
That's the reason why they're doing it.
Okay. Can you combine the 401k with a 403b for your RMD account?
So this is really interesting.
Amount.
Yeah. A very tricky question. I don't always know the answers, but this one I do. If you can combine all your IRAs, the one at Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard, and all, one's 127,000, one's 52,000, da, da, da. You combine all your IRAs, now mind this, IRAs, and say, okay, the total is 259,000, plug that into the formula, and then you can take whatever that is, 11, 12,000, I don't know what the amount is, but the 12,000, you could take it all out of one of them, or half and half, or a third and a third, as long as you take the right amount of your IRAs.
Right.
However, for either and a 401k or a 403b, you must do the calculation separately for those employer-sponsored plans. You could still have an old IRA, your current IRA, and maybe a 403b from when you work for a nonprofit. You have to take a separate RMD for each of those, which is why I have long advocated that if you're no longer with the company, there are two good reasons to do a rollover. One is, you won't have to take a separate distribution. And number two is, those plans are for employees younger than you who are planning to grow the money and need aggressive funds. That's what's in those plans, where especially if you're getting toward retirement, you might want to move to some more conservative choices. When you roll over, you could roll over each one of those four. You have two 401ks and a 403b. You could do an IRA rollover, roll them all into the same one IRA rollover account, sort out your money, sort out your exposure. And how do you do that? If you go to terrysavage.com, I wrote a classic column. People ask me about it all the time. In the search box under my columns, put rollover now, put those words, and it will show you exactly. You don't take the money, you don't take a check,
yeah.
You don't fill out forms particularly, you get your new custodian at Fidelity or Vanguard to do it with.
What about
for
this
you?
Question? Hey, Terry, okay. What determines the COLA SSI adjustment every year? Is it inflation or some index factor? My cost of living allowance, how much does Social Security increase my payment? What decides that?
Well, there's a special index, but it's not just an index. We would like it to be an index for the costs particularly faced by older people because they're the ones getting it. It's not quite that, but it is a variant of the cost of the
Well, don't they have a grocery basket? They have a,
no, it's a variant of the, I'll give you, in fact, if you give me a second during the next break, I'll look up exactly how it's calculated, but it is a variant of the consumer price index. It is based on the consumer price index. So if we're having 3% annual inflation, you might get, you will
right,
get about
3%. Right, but that
increase.
Does not include medical costs, does it?
Oh, that's a portion of it, but not as highly weighted you're a senior where there's a lot that's maybe not covered by Medicare.
This one says, Terry, I'm about to receive a sizable inheritance in December. Now what? That's the entirety of the question.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Just looking. Never mind.
I'm about to receive a sizable inheritance. Now
okay.
What?
Well,
now what? Okay. First, answer this question. How much taxes do you have to pay on an inheritance?
No.
Okay, if zero is the answer, that's fine.
Wait. If the estate... Well, if it was in Illinois, everything over $4 million gets taxed. The estate pays the taxes.
Got it.
It's not millions and millions. So the estate takes care of all the taxes. And for all practical purposes, very few estates pay federal estate taxes. Illinois has a state inheritance tax, which is why so many people move to Florida.
It starts at
$4 million.
Okay, fine.
So, but that'll all be taken care of. And then the executor will net distribute you and your sister. Each get $859,000, and your dad left the car to her and the whatever.
So what should they put the money in?
This is the moment when you need someone who is not frothing at the mouth to give you investment advice where you will pay management fees and commissions. This is the moment where you need a true fiduciary on your side, fee only, not commissions.
How much does that guy charge?
Well, it could...
A couple thousand dollars?
Yeah, it depends.
Well, they're getting a sizable inheritance, yes. So I don't think it matters.
Well, it always matters what you pay in fees. But the fact is, you want someone who is not just giving you investment advice, who's saying, gee, Joe, at this point, we really ought, you ought to redo your estate plan. Gee, Joe, it might make sense to put this much for your grandchildren
in
a 529.
So I'll pay a fee only.
So you find a fiduciary, not just someone who's a broker or salesperson who says, I'll get you an annuity.
But I think some people would say, well, look, I can put it in an S&P index fund myself, or I can put it in
It's not just about investing this. It's about how this is changing your life, your own estate plan, your own relationship with your spouse and your children. So WealthRamp. WealthRamp.com.
Yeah.
That is my now very good friend, co-podcaster. We're going to tape a couple this afternoon. Pam Kruger set this up to carefully vet. She's like me. What can I say? Fee-only fiduciaries who she knows are honest and well-educated.
Maybe we should interview one of those people on the show sometime.
Wait. Well, you should interview Pam. We should bring Pam on.
773, if you are still listening, tell us more about yourself, because I'll manage this and I won't charge you anything.
And free advice is worth exactly what you pay for it. Remember that.
Terry Savage is here. This is the Noon Business Lunch. Terry, do you have to take a withdrawal, your RMD, if you are still working?
So that's a good question. If you are still working for the company that you have your 401k at, you are not required to take an RMD for that. But for your other IRAs from olden times, yes, you must take your RMD
from those.
Sounds
like a lot of accounting. I've worked for several radio stations over the years, blah, blah, blah.
You should have rolled those all over.
Yeah, and if I did, now they're all in one.
I know you did because, you know,
I presume I did. So then now that they're all in one, then it doesn't matter who I was working for along the way.
No, they're all in one IRA rollover, and you'll take, you're not old enough, but when your time comes, you'll take an RMD from that. But if you're still working here, all those years from now, you won't have to take one from your 401k here.
630 says, when will the IRMA income amounts for next year be announced? What's an IRMA income amount?
Okay. I'll just write another column about that. I'll write all these at year end. IRMA is adjustment to the taxes that you, or the increases you have to pay on your Medicare Part B premiums. I'm looking for a second because I know they're out. Yeah, here they are. The 2026 IRMA, Income Related Monthly Adjustment Account, IRMA. The brackets are based on your modified adjusted gross income for this year. They'll catch up with you within 2 years if in 2026, on a single return, there's a lot of brackets here, but the basic surcharge starts. If you're single and you earn over $109,000 in a modified adjusted gross income, don't make me go there, or on a joint return, $218,000, suddenly you will find yourself paying more for your Medicare monthly premium. And it's adjusted things. So if you're earning over $500,000 on a single return, mm-hmm. actually, if you're earning $205,000 to $500,000 on a single return, there's a $544.60 surcharge on the basic Medicare Part B premium.
So speaking of surcharges or penalties, 630 said, Terry, what would you suggest to someone that missed taking out their RMDs for several years? The totals are about $15,000.
Well, there's a significant penalty, 25% of the amount that should be withdrawn. I suggest you get a qualified CPA to help you with this. And it's still a significant amount of money.
What do you think about just not telling anybody that you've missed those benchmarks? I mean, you will not advise people to break the law.
Right.
And that's breaking the law.
Right. But I get where you're coming from.
Do you have to take an RMD from a Roth IRA?
No, that's the whole point. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned the word Roth before. The whole point of having had a Roth IRA, or nowadays, almost every major company offers a Roth version of the 401k, same investments. The difference is, with a Roth, you'd use after-tax money. You don't get a tax deduction for your contribution the way you do with a traditional IRA or 401k. You use after-tax money. And then all of that money comes out, all the subsequent earnings and all the contributions, well, you have to have held it for 5 years. But basically, all of it comes out tax-free, and there is no RMD on a Roth IRA.
All right, well, then can I roll my 401k or my 401 into an IRA? I'm 68 years old.
If you're no longer working for the company, you not only can but should. Take a look again at terrysavage.com. Under the section marked columns, there's a search box. Roll over now. We'll give you the instructions.
Please, what's the difference between Medicare G and N?
That is a form of Medicare Part G that gives that
That's
exposes
the good one.
You
That's
more.
That's the one you want.
You want G. But there's a version of it that I'll... gives you more exposure out of pocket. If you're going to go with a supplement, please try and go with the full G.
Got it. Any last pieces of advice, Terry Savage, for our listeners?
Yeah. I'll tell you what my next column. In fact, I'm really looking forward to discussing it with you next Wednesday, which is the day before Thanksgiving when I'll be seasoning a turkey and making my apple pie. That's what I do. I want to preview this. I want you to think about next week's conversation in advance. It's called Having the Toughest Discussion. It's not the birds and the bees. It's the bills and the wills. And I know two things happen at Thanksgiving. You know, you cook and you're exhausted, and then you eat the turkey and all the men are exhausted. At least they're on the couch. But it's really important now that you have the family together to have a discussion. It's hard for baby boom parents who are now have adult children to even think that their kids might have an opinion, a reason to know what your estate plan looks like, what your plans for living
well,
are.
I sure
you
didn't
stay
ask
the
them.
House?
I'm not sure it's their beeswax. I'll do whatever
no,
I want to.
I want to have that discussion next week.
Okay.
I want to prep you for that. I want to remind you that at terrysavage.com, when you go there, top right, there's some boxes. One of them says personal financial organizer. Print out as many copies as you want. It's 4 pages.
Oh, really?
It's what you would fill out with. Here are my credit card account numbers, and here's a toll-free number to call.
Okay.
Here's my doctor lawyer. We'll talk about that next week.
TerrySavage.com, the money lady, TerrySavage.com. What a pleasure, Ms. Savage. Thank you.
It's been fun.